Hi everyone, welcome to the Alia Graphic Podcast. Today we are really excited to have a creator chat with our comics author, local to my personal library here in the Redlands of Queensland. I'm Rebecca Teitzel and I'm a member of the Alia Graphic Novels and Comics Group, this wonderful group of volunteers who love comics and libraries. Before we get started with our special guest, as a national group based across the land of Australia, I would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of this land. I personally would like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, traditional owners of the lands, winds, and waters we call Redlands. I pay respect to elders, past and present, and all First Nations people across the land, and thank them for their rich storytelling traditions and art. Okay, so my very special guest, can you introduce yourself and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name's Paul McLaughlin. So I'm a writer. I've written novels and short stories and children's comic books. And most notably, why I'm here today is Little Viking Space Rangers, which I also helped or which I also created.
Amazing. So, for those who have not read or interacted with Little Viking Space Rangers, can you describe what that is?
Sure. So it's about two young girls, two young sisters who are very talented at or show promise in archery, magic, and optimism. And they travel through space, essentially just solving problems for hire. And they're hired by some of the most illustrious and bizarre characters across space.
That's really cool. It's a really fun little graphic novel series. So, what was the process of writing Little Viking Space Rangers? Can you step me through kind of how you started and then how you ended up to publication?
Sure. So, I'll step on the process first, just because, I think it's evolved since the original idea, because I'm getting closer and closer to a more, deliberate process. I've just finished chapter three, I'm sorry, in completion, and I've just finished the draft script for chapter four. So in process now, I already have like a general synopsis for each chapter, like before I even touch the draft script. So how it generally operates is I'll write a very like just a draft, like a draft script. Everything's all like it's more just a storyboard, but all of it's there. And then from that, I get started on an even more basic, just paneling. So it's stick figures. I generally do it on something I'm very comfortable with throwing away, the back of pages and stuff. And that just incites, because oftentimes that informs the script again. Like, so through that process, I get an understanding of where I haven't given enough exposition, context in sort of scenes and whatnot. So then that informs the script. So I go back, and that through that process, I probably go from like an 85% script to a 95% sort of script, to talk very vague, statistics. But then after that script's done, then I go back to, then I actually do make the roughs, the paneling, that will be shown to the artist. And that has, a general understanding of what the positioning of the characters' expressions, if I can fit it, or it might just be an arrow saying sad, happy. And I'm getting better. Well, to be honest, I'm working hard to get better to a point where that's not, it doesn't look ridiculous to a professional artist. And yeah, I would try, like one key tip that I've found there is that I'll actually impose like the text that will be relevant to the thing, because oftentimes you'll just do a sketch and leave that off. But I've realized just having the text there allows the artist to go, okay, cool, well, I'm not going to have any room for background here. Why should I even bother? That sort of thing. So yeah, and then after that, I pass that on to the illustrators, and they essentially, they charge. You know, oftentimes it starts with a meeting where like they'll hammer out, because a lot of the time, even if, you know, it'll be a line in the script or it'll be a dodgy picture, but it won't have the full, you know, understand. Like, I've kept a lot of things in my head. Yeah. So a lot of their job is them teasing out the information, going, okay, cool. How did you see this actually making sense? That sort of thing. Liana is especially amazing at that sort of process. Everything, she likes everything to make sense before she even dives in. And then charges. So yeah.
For those who don't know who Liana is, can you like talk about what that process is?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So Liana Wright is the illustrator of and cover creator for chapters. Well, she's the cover creator for all of them. And she also illustrated chapters 1 and 3. And also I should mention Trudy Monteith and Sarah Rackman did the illustration, or did parts of the illustration for chapters for chapter 2. They're amazing. So I lucked into a relationship with Liana Wright through my partner, and basically just it started very. I was just like, oh look, I'm doing this thing. I'll send you the script. Feel free to say no.
Yeah.
Because you know she's so. For those who don't know, she worked on Bluey, and is just like, yeah, like I dabbled in drawing. Like I would never call myself anything close to an artist, but I love drawing. I loved drawing as a kid, especially, and so like to be able to work with such an amazing illustrator. Like you can check out just her own work is just incredible. But obviously, with Bluey and whatnot, yeah, she's got a resume that correctly ascribes her talent, you know. So, so that's who I've worked with for the illustration. And then generally what happens is I'll pass on, so we'll have that initial meeting, they'll go off and I, like, to be honest, as I said, I'm not a professional artist. I, like, they are given free reins to go and do that thing, and generally at every stage they'll come back for review. So for point of context, so like they'll do the characters, and then we'll sit down and we'll go, and again it'll at every stage they might be teasing more information out, like, okay, but how did you see this, you know, are they, you know, what you've probably got information, you know, you're working on, what are they going to be like in a few chapters time? Is it all right if we go with a softer, you know, softer look, or are they actually going to be really badass in a few chapters? You know, that sort of stuff actually is important when creating characters, especially over a lengthy series. So they do the characters, then they do the props/background and settings, and then they do the roughs, and then they get started on like the final spiel, and then it's color and text. And each one of those generally has a sit down, like not a sit down, but like a back and forth at the end of the stage, and we go through and review and whatnot. Because oftentimes there'll be one or two bits where I'm actually going back to the script, and in a similar way to my roughs, there's just little things that are like story-wise that, you know, you realize you need to inform a bit more, add here or there, or you need the art to work harder, you know, like where I've made a mistake, you can oftentimes make the artwork for you to add the context that wasn't there in the script or something like that.
Yeah, and I suppose in terms of that, like this being your first foray into graphic novel creation, was there a reason you decided to go down that path of graphic novels specifically?
So I always wanted, like, it's always, I like fun. Like, as I said, I have a, I've had a fondness for drawing itself, and since getting out of school, I've just loved writing in general. And so There's just always been a natural curiosity there. But this started very much just as, to be honest, more as a hobby. Like, so how this started was, this is very much based on my nieces, to a point where we had, so their names are, maybe I won't mention it just in case, but they're very close to the characters' names, right?
Yeah.
Of Ada and Ivy. And basically this started was just as a family joke. Like I was like, I started a script and it was just like funny. And to be honest, probably a lot more inside jokes that I then went out and sort of like edited and whatnot. And it was just to make my family laugh. Like I sent it to my, yeah. And I like my sister is probably my, you know, unsolicited editor. And so so I sent it to her and she's like, this is, she just made the mistake of saying it was really good. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I should do something with this. And then just at like at a weird turning point, just when I was thinking maybe I should, like my partner mentioned that, you know, that she was teaching this, you know, animator like in her yoga class. And I was like, huh.
It all that, comes together.
Exactly. It just was perfect timing. And like, fortunately, Liana said yes. And yeah, that's sort of how it started. Yeah.
And how chuffed are your nieces about, I guess, being the stars of your graphic novels?
Amazing. And what's cool is they didn't even like, the first one would have come when they may have been too young to understand, mm-hmm. like to a point where they were like the younger. So it would have been like 6 and 4 at the time. Mm-hmm. And the fourth is like, okay, so this is like, you could see her comprehending it like, oh, so this is a natural thing. You can just, you know, like, and it was almost beautiful, like where she was like, oh, cool. So you can just make comic books and like for me, I'm expecting this now, you know, sort of thing.
Yeah. Isn't everyone a star of their own graphic novel series? Like,
And it was always like, oh, but it was also like, oh, cool. I should just write my own novel, write my own comic book. And yeah, she was coming up and being like, how's like, you know, she was doing her little doodles and coming up to me and like, is this a comic book? You know,
so cool.
Yeah. No, so that was really cool.
And then in terms of you growing up, did you engage with a lot of graphic novels or comic books or have any inspiration that you've taken into this?
I did. I definitely got more into reading in general, like after school. So that, you know, when I started university and, you know, that like I got into reading in a big way and I got into graphic novels in a big way as well. It was definitely there. Like my brother was huge into, you know, Marvel, DC, that sort of thing. And my sister was big into like Archie. And I remember just reading a bunch of them, like just, you know, just they'd always be on the kitchen table. So like occasionally I'd read one. But I was also like, as said, like I was probably more into drawing when I was young. I remember Venom, for instance. I just remember that. So the sensibilities of like an 8-year-old just seeing this, because the anti-villain thing was just huge back then. So... and just seeing this badass, you know, hero, I was like, that's alien, you know, scary guy. I was just like, yep. So just got right into that. I don't know, like in terms of what, I don't know if anything back then would have been like, I remember Asterix and I remember like that may have gone some, been a bit inspirational here. More than anything, though, I think, like, I remember reading, like, a Simpsons comic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember realizing, oh, this isn't funny. Like, I was a huge Simpsons fan. And I remember the comic book not being funny. And I was like, huh, it's really hard to make. Like, I was like, oh, that's a challenge. Like, to make a comic book funny would be tricky, you know? So I think I lodged that away. Because, like, don't get me wrong, but I'm not calling mine hilarious. It's got a few good punchlines, but and I'm not saying that there's definitely some hilarious comic books out there. Asterix is good. Asterix is funny, and Deadpool like does a really good good job of somehow being hilarious whilst in comic book form. But yeah, no, I definitely lodged away of like, huh, it would be cool to be able to make a funny comic book. So
yeah,
definitely.
And then in terms of you personally as a comic creator, you've got some experience now with libraries and being a comic creator. So can you talk on that a little bit? Because that's how we met each other.
Sure. Yeah. No. So like libraries, I didn't even know the library. Like back when I was young, I don't think comic books were allowed in libraries, to be honest. Made it hard because they are super expensive.
Yeah.
So if you're a kid, you don't really have access to it, so it's great that libraries have that. But yeah, I mean, the alternative to, you know, was to like sit at like in those, like a news agency and just sit in the comic book section reading and whilst getting death stared by the guy at the counter. Until he builds up enough nerve to tell you to leave. So, yeah, no, as you can tell, I'm a bit scarred there. but no, I like it's. I think it's great. I think it's amazing that libraries are taking this on because, to be honest, they're a super important medium, honestly. And I think they're particularly for the young people. They're the first sort of access point. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you have run library workshops. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what that entails, what's that like, and what kind of response that you've gotten on doing that?
Sure. So the workshops are how to create a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I've done them through, yeah, and I should mention the ones that I did, the bout that I did for the Redlands area. Oh, they were great. A lot of fun. So basically I just teach them real basics of like what a kid should think about before they sort of start making a comic book. And then I do it step by step in like, and together we sort of create a very small comic book. So, you know, like, so some of the things that they should think about, you know, characters, panels, you know, the gap, like, gutter space, that sort of thing, like how much, what needs to be inferred between panels, that sort of thing. Dialogue placement, I mean, you know, I'm breaking this down for them as well. But yeah, no, so we get into a bit of that and they create their own characters. This is the big thing, and that's super fun, and I encourage that, you know, that they go crazy there, sort of thing. And then they create their villains and they create like a sidekick. And then basically I've done up like a script that they then slip their character names into, and then they position that dialogue into like, then they, and I then give them like a break, like a 2 pages of panels, and they essentially make their own comic book fitted into that collage. So it's cut and copy, less messy. So yeah, no, that's the process. I mean, in terms of review, it's great. I've had great feedback. I've done it for some schools. It is educational. It does fit to some of the like grade 4 curriculum. But more than that, it's just fun.
And how interesting that, like, because I've obviously seen a lot of comic book programming, and we quite often very much hone in on that drawing side of it, because a lot of kids, obviously, they love to draw. It's so interesting then to come in with this more like, well, actually, like, how do we do the dialogue? How do we create things? What's important there? And picking that out. So I'm sure, like, teachers and librarians are really happy to see those kind of workshops come available.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a big feedback, like I did this for a school, and I think it was a class of 30 or somewhere around there, and there was 5 neurodivergent kids in there, and they're like, look, they even gave me sort of, you know, they told me beforehand, look, in case, like, there's every chance that they'll just won't be able to participate really. Don't worry, just keep going. And the other, therefore, you know, and I was like, cool, that's sweet. But to be honest, and this is like, I was blown away by this. Four out of the five were able to sort of keep going and see it through. And a big part of that is, there was one that they were super impressed with, and because she had struggled with English, like English subject, and like she, because the script was broken down, she was actually loving that she could, you know, she could use, this was readied for her, and it made sense to her, but it just allowed her to, you know, it gave her a tool to sort of speak in a way. So yeah, I think it was, yeah, that blew me away, that I was like, oh, I didn't even see, I wasn't even doing this deliberately, but it was great to see that was coming, you know, to help her out. Yeah.
That's amazing. Are there any other highlights that you can think of, like with your library workshops, or, I mean, that one's pretty amazing.
It was fun in that Redlands one. My nieces were able to come to one of them. That was cool. That was cool. Oh, actually, the best one.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Victoria Point one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and did a workshop there, and then, like, one of the girls was like, actually came up and was like, look, unfortunately, I like, we need to go, but I love this, I'll see ya. And I was like, oh, no, that's fine. And then she actually came back to the workshop at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And like, even though, like, she left like a fraction before the finish, but she came back for the workshop again, the second time. So that was humble. That was cool. That was very cool. She actually came up. She came up because she won a prize. So mm-hmm. I gave her the book, and she won the book in the first one. And she comes up to me in the second one, and she's like, "I read it. It's good."
From a child, that is the most ultimate.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. I was like, it also is probably how I would approach any of my. If it was Patrick Rufus, you know, I wouldn't want him to get a big head. Yeah, it's like, you know, you've got books to write, so I don't want you to realize you've done it. You've got a lot more books to write, but just, yes, it's good. Continue.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah. And then in terms of doing this programming, do you have any advice for librarians or libraries who are interested in incorporating graphic novel or comic workshops into their programming? So yeah, you've created this very niche kind of how to create it yourself.
Yeah, I always think that the best way to do it, and it's long serving, is just to get maximum, like, I mean, obviously, but like maximum involvement or like collaboration where the kids are actually like interacting and whatnot. Yeah, and I don't know what exactly, like a book club, although I guess there's probably a non-lame way of doing that for kids, but I don't know exactly what that looks like. But, you know, even if it's a drawing club or a writing club, for that matter. But, you know, I think, like, there's just a lot of joy. Like, I think people, yeah, like, I think people fall into the trap of often thinking that readers and writers love to be alone just because, you know, they fall into the group of being introverted. But no, I think there's actually like a secret joy in being able to share your creativity with your, you know, with your best mate. I mean, that's what's cool about the workshops is that, you know, so often like two friends will be sitting next to each other and they'll be like, look at this thing that I drew. And they'll be like, whoa, you know. Or it's a dad or it's a mum and they're like, you know, helping the kid draw. And, you know, so no, I definitely think that, like, I think that there's something to the whole collaboration side of things. And yeah, I mean, there's no secret, like, there's probably a reason why a lot of like those famous authors are friends and whatnot. There's a lot of, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what a brilliant concept. Like, you often think about, and I suppose more in the adult space, that kind of starved and lonely artist thing. But there is a big thing about community, and I guess that's where libraries come into play, is like making that space for community.
Exactly. And I would have, to be honest, like, I, again, I just think it's a misnomer. Like, I think people that go the distance probably have plenty of friends and, you know, because that's what it, honestly, that's what it takes. You're going to need people, you're going to need people to read your work. Yeah, as terrible as that, as that is. But, you know, you're going to need people to read your work. You're going to need to read work. You're going to need to read, and you need to be able to get into a place where you can accept feedback. And it's a lot easier if you start at a young age and you're like, oh, yeah, if I do this, this character that I've just drawn is way better or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. Backtracking a little bit to Little Viking Space Rangers, can you think of any challenges you face when creating this comic book? Like, how has that process been?
Yeah. Well, I just touched on one.
yeah.
So editing is always hell. Like, so writing, to speak on the writing, writing's always great. Writing's always easy. The editing is always a little bit of a challenge. And then, yeah, as said, like the feedback, like just being in a place where you can, so for instance, like I do a rough, paneling of everything that goes in, and I send that off to the artist, and they're professionals. I have no right in telling them what to do, but every time it hurts just a little that they'll change, you know, that they'll,
yeah,
you know, it won't be the paneling that I do. And I'm like, and I completely, like, don't get me wrong, they are right, but every time I'm like, oh, really? Yeah.
And do you think that process is getting easier as you do each?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 No. And it helps that I'm wrong. Like, I can intrinsically go, oh yeah, like I see the finished product and I go, oh, I understand why they did that. But yeah, no, like, yeah, I mean, it's just something that it comes with the space. You need to be able to take criticism and feedback, and editing is just always going to suck. Like, it should. If you're a creative and someone's telling you, no, no, you've done it, you're creating wrong, you know, it should bite. It should bite. But yeah, that's the thing that you need to work on.
And then what are you working on next? Is it just focusing in on this story, or are you starting to think of other kind of things?
No, so as I said, like this was more of a this is a hobby that has turned into a full thing. But I've written a novel in the past that I've taken off Amazon, and I wrote that at a time where, like, I was struggling to find time, and like since then I've actually been able to carve out more of my time. Like, I've gotten a part-time job to help me facilitate this hobby of writing. So now that I can put some proper time to it, you know, I want to do things right. I've now done a novel. And I'm basically just in the editing phase of that. It's an adult fiction, adult sci-fi.
Are you able to give any teasers of plot or title or anything, or is it all still very?
It's very, like, it's a very conceptual. Like, it would probably take me half an hour just to explain stuff, but it's very, like, it's fantastical and, you know, and science fiction-y all rolled into one. It's difficult for me to give a one liner, but I guess I'll work on that.
yeah. And then in terms of this graphic novel series, have you already plotted an ending? Like, is it, you're like, okay, there's five chapters and that's it, or?
Yeah. So So at the start, once I had the idea and I pitched it, you know, and my sister said, this is good, and I charged. So then I went away and actually did up, you know, a synopsis, and I put it through to, Like, basically, I prepped everything that you need to send it off to publishers and whatnot. And part of that is, you know, a synopsis, a breakdown of episodes, and etc. So, yes. So through that, I actually got, so I've essentially got two endings. One is, if this is going to be a concise, you know, well, probably a six-parter, to be honest, five or six parts. And if it's continuous, I have an alternative ending. Part of that is I'm hoping that it's I'm hoping that I can do the continuous version for the fact that I need to work in more. I've had more nieces and nephews since the start.
Oh, they all need to have a spotlight. They all need to go.
Exactly. They all need to have their own chapter. So, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's really, yeah. It's, and it's so interesting that you've got those both kind of plotted out to, yeah, to have a go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at the end of every creator chat, we like to ask you to recommend three comics. They can be something that you've read recently, an all-time favorite, or something that's inspired your work. So do you have three comics for us today?
So I guess, okay, so like to give honor to where it's like, so I would say Constantine. I mean, classic DC. And honestly, like, I'm probably selecting it just because it's the best character in comic book form, I think. Like, it's very, like, it's very, like, Ulysses, like, where he's, like, it's just a really cool character. He's got a personality of his own. He's not, you know, he's not dull. That's great. And then also on top of that, he's sort of underpowered. He's only winning on his smarts, which is just, which is rare in especially that's especially in the DC Marvel sort of worlds, you know. So that's cool. What else I would also add, I mean, not to go heavy on DC, but Watchmen is a classic for a reason. Enough said. It's probably on every it's probably on every list. And then the other one is, I would say, Wings of Fire. My nieces got me into it, but it is great. It's just super readable. And I actually read the first, like, I think, and also, like, I'm aware, like, the textbooks came first, I believe. But the graphic novels add something, like, they're just super, like, I haven't read any graphic novel that is as readable, like, is, you know, just, yeah, I blitzed through them, and they're a great story.
So, yeah, they're very fantastic, and they do get borrowed a lot, I know, from my library service. They're,
yeah.
And rereadable, like, people just continuously picking them up again and again, so.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's cool to see, like, the kids, you know, they'll have, like, favorite scenes from, which is, yeah, no, it's great.
That's awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much for having this chat with me today.
Thank you.
Everyone, just keep an eye on the Alia Graphic socials for what's coming next. I might stop the recording there.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Cheers.